really is a walk in the park to be green, even true green. If you like the sound of that, well, it's the title of a new book out. I highly recommend just flipping through it. It's a beautiful contribution to the growing volume of books out there telling us what we can do to not only save our planet, but save ourselves. This one is 100 Everyday Ways You Can Contribute to a Healthier Planet, and I would add, and people. And I'm sure Kim McKay would agree. She is the co-author of this new book, and she's joining us on the line. You may detect an accent. She's in the States visiting from down under. Welcome to EcoTalk.
Thank you, Betsy.
Well, what inspired you and your co-author, Jenny Bonin, to do this in conjunction with National Geographic?
Well, we actually brought the book out in Australia towards the end of last year. I've been involved in environmental issues actively for about the last 18 years in Australia. We co-founded the Clean Up Australia campaign, which is a national community participation project where people clean up the country. We get about 750,000 volunteers out on Clean Up Day each year, and we do a number of other projects. And then we took it global a few years later. This is in the early 1990s. In partnership with the United Nations Environment Program, we created the Clean Up the World Project, which now operates in some form or other in about 120 countries. So we've been doing this for a while, but we really saw the need to write something that was very accessible, maybe for people who hadn't done much environmentally supportive before in their lives, to break it down and just make it simple and say, hey, you know, you've got to play your bit, and this is easy, and it can save you money.
It is easy, and it's one tip a page, not too much writing, really pretty color pictures. I'm sure it's soy-based ink and all that good stuff, right? Recycled paper anyway?
Well, the paper that we used actually is from forest-certified timbers, and we actually offset the production of the book as a whole, apart from just the paper, but also the printing processes and so forth. So we bought carbon offsets there to negate the impact of the production and the freight on the book.
So you're walking the talk. What about your native country, Australia? Where did they fit, in comparison to we gluttonous Americans?
Well, Australia is an interesting case, actually, because the thing that we do have in common is that we are the only two countries in the developed world to have ratified but not signed the Kyoto Protocol.
Right.
So we share that in common, and that's really a very political issue. I think where our two leaders share some common thoughts in that regard, although ours is changing his tune pretty rapidly. We've got a federal election in Australia at the end of this year, so about 12 months ahead of you.
Well, ours has uttered the words climate change and said we're addicted to oil, so I guess that's progress.
Yeah, you've had some progress. Well, we're getting quite major progress, actually, lately, because it's showing up in the polling. The environment is now the number two issue in Australia in terms of voter concerns. And this is for a number of reasons. Firstly, I think there was the tipping point that occurred around last September, and I think Al Gore's film An Inconvenient Truth and his book and the Intergovernmental Panel report on climate change, the Stern report out of the UK on the economic impacts of global warming, all of these things I think have had a cumulative effect in terms of raising awareness. But certainly in Australia, the environment's always been an issue we've been very concerned about. But what has happened there in the last few years that's really bitten is the drought. We're a continent, just like Africa, in the southern hemisphere, that is being really affected by climatic changes. And we're going to have to learn to live with climate change as a nation. Our rural areas are in severe drought. Our major river system, the Murray-Darling, is drying up fast and furious. If anyone wants to Google it out there and have a look at some of the photographs lately, it's frightening. And, of course, all of our major cities like Brisbane and Sydney and Melbourne and Canberra, are on severe water restrictions. So there's a town halfway between Sydney and Canberra called Goulburn. Well, it's having its water trucked in. It's that bad.
Wow.
So
Sydney
is a major city of 4 million people. We enjoy all of the great delights that you might in San Francisco or anywhere else in the United States. Well, we face, if it doesn't rain in the next 12 months, and I mean rain over our catchment, and we capture that water, we could turn on the tap and nothing would come out. Now,
wow,
that is pretty major.
When's the last time Australia saw a 10-year drought?
Well, I don't think we have seen a drought like this in our history. I mean, we've always had drought conditions. You know, we have a poem by Dorothea McKellar, which is, I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of rugged mountain ranges of droughts and flooding rains. And it's sort of in our psyche that we come from this tough environment that's also very beautiful at the same time. But we have never seen anything like this.
Mm.
And, I mean, it's not because it doesn't rain there. It does in the coastal zone. But we haven't been sensible enough to capture the water. In Sydney, we actually get twice the rainfall of London. But we let it just flow down the streets and the stormwater into the harbour or onto the beaches, back into the ocean. We use fresh water to flush our toilets, to wash our cars.
Is that changing?
To water our golf courses.
Is that changing because of this?
It is changing rapidly. I mean, people really do get it, and they're installing water tanks in their homes. You know, if you're a water tank manufacturer in Australia, you'd be in a boom business right now. You can't get one for love or money at the moment.
I can't believe how much water gets wasted. I mean, even in my own house, I have a 12-year-old daughter, and, you know, she likes to take long showers, and I have to stand outside and make noises, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, you can make it a fun thing to do. I mean, believe it or not, in Australia now, we are all trying to practice the four-minute shower. I have a shower timer that's been specially created that's in my shower, and it's 4 minutes long. I can manage to shower, wash my hair, condition it, and get out in and out in 4 minutes flat. Now, that's good not only from a water-saving perspective. In fact, you can, cut your water consumption in half. I think Americans have an average shower of about 10 minutes. If you cut that down to 5, you'll be saving, you know, a massive amount of water each year.
And if you turn off the...
water saving is good, but it's electricity saving as well. Your hot water service is one of those appliances in the home that really sucks up most of the electricity. So if it's not functioning properly, if it's not insulated, and of course if you take long, leisurely showers steaming up the bathroom, well, you know, you're benefiting the electricity company, and of course you're pumping out more greenhouse gas emissions. So taking shorter showers and water saving around the home in general is a really sensible thing to do.
And I learned on 2020 Friday night, ABC did a one-hour special on environmental issues.
Yep.
And Diane Sawyer said that when you leave the water on while you're brushing your teeth and usually not touching the water for a while, one of my pet peeves, you waste an average of 8 gallons of water. And
yeah,
that's kind of on the conservative side, I'd say.
And, you know, this is why we wrote True Green. We wanted to say to an average person, look, this will bite. You may think your actions don't matter, but they do. America has 300 million people. If we could get half of you just practicing some of these things, it would be incredible in terms of the reduction in greenhouse gases. And these things are easy. We say to people, look, here are 100 things you can do. Just do 5 of them to start with. And you'll see how simple it is, and it doesn't change your life dramatically at all. And in fact, it will save you money. I mean, if you can reduce your electricity consumption in your household, you could save, you know, well over $90 to $100 a year. I mean, just by pulling out those appliances with the standby light on.
You know, it's just about being conscious. And you know, some of us who were born with this, you know, sensitivity gene that just don't like to see waste. I mean, most people are just oblivious. And if you tune in and notice that you're, you know, wasting water, wasting electricity, wasting resources, throwing away too much food, too much paper, too many hangers.
About 27% of the food that we buy is thrown away. And, you know, if Americans reduce the amount of food bought that is discarded, it could feed about 42 million people a year. So, you know, it is about a new way of thinking. We say it's about True Green's about a new way of living. You do need to be conscious. It's a little bit like for the past 40, 50 years, post-World War II, we've been living high on the horse. You know, we've really enjoyed the success of our nations.
And now we're waking up with a hangover.
We're waking up with a bit of a hangover. And, you know, I grew up in a household where my mum had grown up in the Depression. So she used to say, waste not, want not. And it's a bit like that. You know, I'd walk out of a room and leave the light on, and she'd say, turn it off. And I'd say, don't be silly. Well, guess what? She was absolutely right. If you're out of a room for more than 20 seconds, it is cheaper to switch the light off.
Okay, what about turning off the computer? When should you leave it on? If you're going to be back in 20 minutes, when should you turn it off as far as energy consumption?
If you're going for 20 minutes, you turn it off.
Really? Not even in sleep mode? Just turn it off?
In sleep mode. If that light is on, you know, in sleep mode, it's drawing power. It's drawing less power, but it's still drawing it. What do you want, you know, your office to feel happy that there's a computer on? Turn everything off.
Even if you're coming back?
Used to this.
What if you're coming back in 20 to 30 minutes to use it again? Does it still make sense to turn it off and then turn it back on?
It does.
Okay, really important to know. And it's important to turn off that monitor as well.
It is. Remember, you know, especially, look, I'm talking to you from New York City at the moment. You know, I've been out there talking about the book, and I'll tell you in a minute about last night. I went to the Tribeca Film Festival opening. That was interesting.
Please do.
But I'm looking out on an office building opposite me, and I've been looking at it all week. And, you know, those people go home at night. I see the computer screens left on. I'm looking at about, I can see into about 3 floors directly. The computer screens are on at night, and the lights are on.
You're talking to someone who's been wondering about this practice for about 30 years. Why do they leave all the lights
it's crazy, everything on all night?
I'd
love to know who owns those businesses on those floors, because the amount of electricity they're wasting and the amount they're adding to their energy bill each year is incredible. I mean, the profitability of their company could increase dramatically if they just implemented some simple practices in the workplace.
Kim, we're just about out of time, and we got just a few seconds left. Al Gore was there last night, right? Tribeca Film Festival?
He sure was. He spoke at the Tribeca Film Festival, and they screened a series of films about the environment and, of course, announced the big concerts around the globe on the 7th of July this year in
Live Earth
cities.
Okay, we hope we can get your book in major stores everywhere.
You can get it in any bookstore or
wonderful.
On Amazon, or indeed from shop.nationalgeographic.com.
I really recommend this one. It's beautiful, it's simple, it's very user-friendly. Kim McKay, thank you so much for True Green, 100 everyday ways you can contribute to a healthier planet.
My pleasure.
You get through that drought pretty soon there in Australia.
Yeah.
That's it for this edition of EcoTalk. No, we have one more segment. We'll be back. I got so excited, I thought that was the end of the show. We'll be right back, right after these messages.